Tatlong bahagi lang yung ating naging Sunday school sa buwang ito, pero I have found this indeed very and immensely gratifying. At sana'y naging mapanghamon din sa atin ang mga katuruan ukol sa pagpapakababa ng ating Panginoong Hesus bilang anak ng Diyos. Siya ay nagkatawang tao sa panahong ito. Marami sa inyo ang dadalo sa mga parties, Christmas parties. Some of you, many of you, I'm sure will be receiving gifts. You will perhaps even hindi maiwasan na magsalita sa mga okasyon na may ganitong tema ng kapanganakan ng ating Panginoong Hesus. At may kanya-kanya tayong kalayaan pagdating sa usapin ng kapistahan ng Pasko. Sana anuman ang iyong posisyon, isang wag nating kalimutan ay yung katotohanan na laman ng kapanganakan ng ating Panginoon. Tinitingnan natin ito sa tatlong yugto bago siya nagkatawang tao, yung tinatawag nating pre-incarnate state. Nang siya ay nagkatawang tao, na ang tawag nga ng theology riyan, dahil ito ay napakalaking agwat ang kanyang tinawid mula sa kanyang kataasan tungo sa kababaan. Hindi lang basta ito the lowliness of Christ, ito ay tinatawag na the humiliation of Christ. Yan ang katawagan sa theology. So yan ang ating tiningnan nung nakaraang linggo, at doon ay nakita natin na talagang tao siya. Hindi lang sa para siyang nagpakita na tao, para siyang gumaya lang sa tao, kundi talagang tao siya. Kung ano ang isang baby, ganun ang ating Panginoon nung siya ay nagkatawang tao. And that is why it is called the humiliation of Christ. And yet he was, in a very real sense, a pre-existing son. Yung pagkaanak ng Diyos niya, hindi ito tinamu niya nung siya'y tao na, hindi ito tinamu niya nung siya'y nabuhay mula sa mga patay. May mga ganyang katuruan, pero hindi yan ang turo ng Biblia. Ang turo ng Biblia, siya ay walang hanggang anak ng Diyos, the eternal generation of the Son of God. Yung kapahayagan, may progreso, hindi agad natin nalaman, hindi agad ipinakilala. Pero yung kanyang kalagayan, lagi siyang anak ng Diyos mula pananawalang hanggan. At yung kanyang pagkakatawang tao, the incarnation, resulted or gave him the status of Messiah, because prior to that, he was already Son of God. Kaya huwag natin isipin na nagtagumpay siya, kaya siya naging anak ng Diyos. Kundi anak siya ng Diyos, nagkatawang tao, at kaya siya itinuring na Mesiyas. At sa kanyang pagkatawang tao, ay sinasabi natin dito na siya ang natatangi sa mga persona ng pagka-Diyos na merong kalikasang tao. Yung persona ng Ama, persona ng Espiritu, ay meron silang they participate in the divine nature, but only the Son of God, only the person of the Son has human nature and divine nature. At yan yung natatangi sa ating Panginoon. Kaya nga natin sinabi na siya lang ang tagapamagitan, ay sapagkat hindi maari na ang isang tao lamang ay maging sapat na tagapamagitan sa Diyos at tao. Kaya hindi natin tinuturing kahit sinong tao, kahit si Mama Mary, na isang tagapamagitan sapagkat hindi siya Diyos. Samantala, hindi rin ang banal na Espiritu ang tagapamagitan, bagamat malaganap itong binabanggit sa maraming mga pangkatin, ang banal na Espiritu, hindi rin ang banal na Espiritu ang tagapamagitan sapagkat hindi siya tao, wala siyang human nature. Ang tanging sapat na tagapamagitan ay siya na mayroong divine nature and human nature, and that is only the person of the Son of God. Kaya yan yung ang ating Panginoon. One person with two natures, divine nature and human nature. At tinignan natin ito sa katuruan ng Romans 1, 3, and 4, nang siya'y ipinanganak by birth, according to the flesh, siya'y in a state of weakness. Nasa kalagayan ng kahinaan. Kaya yung mga sinasabi sa Ebanghelyo kung paano siya'y napagod, nagutom, totoong lahat yun. Huwag nating isipin na pakita lang. Totoo lahat yun na siya'y napagod, nagutom, nauhaw, at yung sinabi pa niyang hindi niya alam, ay seryosohin din natin sapagkat talagang nagpakababa siya. He was in weakness according to the flesh, but then, by the resurrection, declared. Now, take note, hindi sinabing he became the Son of God. Rather, he was declared the Son of God in power. In contrast doon sa weakness, siya ngayon ay in power. So, yan ang ngayon ang titingnan natin. Tinignan na natin, pre-incarnate state during the earthly life of Jesus. Ngayon, anong nangyari since the resurrection? Yan ang tingnan natin huling yugto. Anong nangyari mula nang mabuhay ang Panginoon mula sa mga patay? Well, ang una nating hindi ko na pakakapadiinan, I will not complicate with arguments, and let me just suffice to say that we should assume the historicity of the resurrection. Kung gusto niyong tanungin yan, kausapin niyo ako mamaya, pero sa ngayon, gusto ko lang gawing assumption na naniniwala tayo na talagang nangyari ang resurrection. Kaya nga kung sa ibang relihiyon, ang kanilang pinakabanal na altar ay yung libingan ng kanilang propeta, like in Islam, it's the yung tomb ni Muhammad in Medina, at yung ibang relihiyon, yung kanilang founder, banal na lugar yung kanilang pinaglibingan sa kanilang founder. As far as we are concerned, we do not have an altar of the tomb of Jesus. What we glory in is an empty tomb. Yung sinabi ng anghel sa mga babaeng dumalaw sa libingan, he is not here, but he's risen. That is the glory of Christianity. Therefore, to us, that is something we assume as historical. Unless the resurrection is real and historical, the Christian faith is false. Ang sabi sa 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied or most miserable. Merong ginawang popular itong philosopher na si Blaise Pascal, na ang kanyang tawag ay Pascal's Bet. Ang sabi niya, always bet on Christianity. If Christianity is true, you will be saved. If Christianity is false, you're still happy because Christianity has very good things to say. And we have to reject that. We are saying it's either Christianity is true or Christians are miserable. We do not believe that there are consolation prizes unless Christianity or the Christ has been risen from the dead. Wala tayong tinatawag na consolation prize. Kung hindi totoo na nabuhay si Jesus mula sa mga patay, miserable ang pananampalatayang Kristiyano. Bakit ka magtsatsaga sa ganyang pananampalataya na wala naman palang tunay na tagapagligtas? Patay naman pala siya. So, if Christ is not truly and historically risen, we don't believe in consolation prizes. It is either it's true or Christianity is miserable. But, ang second point noon, if Christ is truly risen, then Christianity is exclusive. Hindi pwedeng may alternatives. Hindi pwedeng mong sabihin, sige, gawin na natin ang pagka-Kristiyano ay pinakamahusay, pero pwede rin yung iba. Hindi maari kung si Jesus ay talagang nabuhay mula sa mga patay, siya lamang ang tagapagligtas, walang iba. So Christianity is exclusive. Exclusive means it excludes anything else outside of Christianity. And this is my challenge to any one of you who has yet to make that step of real commitment to Christ. There is no other Savior, no other Lord, for only Jesus rose from the dead. Any other you hope in ay patay, mamamatay. Si Kristo lamang. So itong sinasabi natin about the truth of Christianity, the truth of Christ's resurrection, because Christ rose from the dead, no other saving faith except the Christian faith. Walang pananampalatayang makapagliligtas maliban sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano. At yan ang ina-assume natin. At ang sinabi nga ni Apostol Pablo nang kausap niya ang mga philosophers sa Athens, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent because He has fixed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom He has appointed. And of this, He has given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. Ito ang pruweba natin ng pagkatotoo ng ating mensahe ay sapagkat si Jesus ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay. Kaya anong nangyari nung siya ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay? Kung tinatawag na humiliation, yung kanyang pagkakatawang tao, pagpapakababa, ang kabaligtaran nun ay yung kanyang pagkabuhay ang simula ng kanyang exaltation, yung pagtataas sa ating Panginoon. Pero ang may tatanong natin ngayon muna ay, anong nangyari sa kanya? Ano na yung kanyang kalagayan nang siya ay mabuhay mula sa mga patay? Tingnan natin ng ilang talata. Philippians 3:20 and 21. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body, by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. So, ang tingnan nating pinagsalungat dito, yung ating lupang katawan, tayong mga tao, ay tinawag na lowly body. In contrast, anong magiging body natin ay maiwawangis daw sa kanyang body. Ano ang kanyang body ngayon? Glorious body. So, yan ang katawagan. Malwalhating katawan. Ano ba ang malwalhating katawan? May mga talata rin na lalampasan ko na, pero dito makikita natin, nung siya ay mabuhay na muli, may nangyari na ilang pagpapakita ng Panginoon at may mga kaibahan na sa kanyang katawan nang siya ay mabuhay na muli. Tingnan natin ang ilan. Luke 24:31, the disciples sa Emmaus, yung patungo ng Emmaus, their eyes were open and they recognized Him and He vanished from their sight. So una, hindi siya agad nakilala. Ibig sabihin, mga kasama niya ito ng ilang taon, 3 taon. Pero nung magpakita na siya, ito rin yung katawan na namatay. Tandaan natin, hindi ito katawang nilikha. Ito yung katawan na namatay, nagbangon mula sa libingan. Kaya nga empty yung tomb. Hindi ito panibagong katawan. Gayunpaman, yung katawan na yun na binuhay mula sa libingan, nung makita na ng kanyang mga alagad na matagal niyang kasama, hindi siya kaagad nakilala. At nung makilala na siya, he vanished. Hindi nangyari yan sa panahon bago siya nabuhay na muli. And then in another encounter, nung natakot yung mga alagad na, galing sila sa pangingisda. At akala nila nagmumulto sa kanila si Jesus. Anong sinabi niya? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when they had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, He said to them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it and ate before them. So, ang unang-unang kinain ng risen Christ, inihaw ng isda. Kaya, magandang commendation yan. Pero ang point rito ay, ano yung mga meron sa katawan ng Panginoon? Physical pa rin. Hindi ito ghostly body. Hindi ito phantom. Ito'y physical body pa rin. Pinakita niya, andun pa rin ang kamay, andun pa rin ang kanyang katawan. So, it's still a body, and a body by its very nature is in one place at a time. Hindi ito omnipresent body. It is a body. Not only that, makikita natin, kumain pa siya. So, then another thing, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, so Sunday, and the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. And again, talagang dinitali ni Juan, doors were locked. And yet, Jesus appeared. Dun sa kanina, nakita natin, He vanished. Here, He suddenly appeared in a place where there was sarado. So, ito yung unang Sunday. Ito yung Sunday of the resurrection pa lang. The very first day of the resurrection, Sunday yan, at nagpakita ang Panginoon sa mga alagad. Absent si Thomas. Ang hirap nag-absent. Natanggal ng pagpapala. Tapos, nung binalita na sa kanya during the week, nagduda pa siya. Diyan nanggaling yung ating doubting Thomas na expression. At nung the following Sunday, another Sunday assembly, andun na si Thomas. At nung nagkaroon na ng encounter sa kanila, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Again, although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So, ilang mga bagay ang tingnan natin na totoo sa katawan ng Panginoon after the resurrection. Una, he was not immediately recognizable, which means there were significant changes. May mga pagbabago sa kanyang katawan kung kahit hindi siya agad nakilala. And then, yet, he was tangible to physical senses. Physical na katawan pa rin. Nahihipo, nahahawakan, nakikita, nakakasalimuha. So, hindi ito, again, as I said, it's not a ghostly body. It's not a phantom-like body. It is a real body that can be touched, that was tangible, sensibly. But he exceeded physical limitations kasi he could vanish and he could appear even in a room that was locked. So, hindi napigilan nung mga dating limitations. And yet, he still did physical activities. Kumain pa rin. So, in other words, those physical things still happened. He walked, he sat, etc. So, he still did physical things. Physical capacities are present, in other words. But what is the most remarkable ay, he retained the wounds of the cross. Ayun ang remarkable dito. Supposedly, no more corruption, sabi ng 1 Corinthians 15:51. And yet, he determined to retain the wounds of the cross, those wounds he showed to Thomas. And I believe that this is as an eternal reminder to his followers what it took for us to be redeemed. Hindi natatanggalin yun ang pang walang hanggan na paalala sa atin ano ang kinailangan para tayo tubusin sa ating mga kasalanan. So, it was a glorious body all in all, yet he chose to retain the wounds of the cross. So that is a remarkable thing. So from the resurrection then, ang masasabi natin ay Jesus remained God-man forever, yet glorious. So it was not the glorious condition that it was before the resurrection, but since the resurrection, he retained his God-man two natures, one person, pinanatili niya yung kanyang dalawang kalikasan bilang Diyos at tao, ngunit siya'y niluwalhati na. May kaluwalhatian. At yan ang punto na gusto kong makita natin sa kalikasan ng kanyang katawan. No longer a lowly body, but glorious. Pero ang isa pang tingnan natin ay yung kanyang status, ang kanyang kalagayan, saan siya inilagay na matapos na siya'y mabuhay na muli at umakyat sa Ama. Ang mahalagang makita natin dito ay ang kanyang kingly status. The resurrection inaugurates the kingdom and begins Christ's kingly rule. Ang sabi ng Acts 2, medyo mahaba ito, but it is important. Being therefore a prophet, tumutukoy kay David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." So, kailan daw nagsimula yung kanyang paghahari, siya'y iniluklok sa kanyang trono nang siya'y mabuhay na muli. May mga katuruan ngayon na maghahari si Jesus pagsimula ng kanyang pagdating na muli at magkakaroon ng milenyo dito sa mundo. Hindi yan ang katuruan sa bagong tipan. Ang paghahari ni Yesu Kristo nag-umpisa na at siya'y lumukluk sa kanyang trono mula pa nung kanyang pagkabuhay na muli. Ang kaharian ay narito na. Nagpapatuloy, bagamat tago sa marami sapagkat ang kumikilala ay ang mga mananampalataya lamang, subalit totoo nang nagahari si Jesucristo. Ibahin po natin yung paghahari na ito sa kanyang pagka-Diyos. Hindi ito yung kanyang pagkasoberano bilang Diyos. Kung pansin niyo yung sinabi sa 36, He was made, ginawa siya. So hindi ito yung kanyang paghahari bilang soberanong Diyos, ito yung kanyang paghaharing kanyang inangkin. This is the lordship He earned. This is not the lordship of His sovereign nature. This is the lordship He earned. Ang tawag po rin ay meritorial lordship, meritorial kingship. At sa sinabi ng Colossians, sa dalawang bagay ito, Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, etc. At yung ikalawa, sa verse 18, He is the head of the body, the church. Kaya sa dalawang larangan, umiilal yung pagkapanginoon ni Jesucristo na kanyang inangkin, dala ng kanyang tinupad na misyon. Mula nung kanyang pagkabuhay na muli, siya'y Panginoon, una, sa larangan ng kalikasan. Yan ang sinabing firstborn of creation. Pinaliwanag ko na noon nung may nagtanong sa first installment pa lang natin, yung firstborn, hindi po ibig sabihin niya na siyang unang nilalang. Yan ang turo ng mga Jehovah's Witnesses. Mali po iyan. Yan ay heresy. Hindi siya nilalang. Ang ibig sabihin ng firstborn ay nakatataas. This is not a title of sequence. It is a title of rank. Kapag sinabing firstborn of creation, ibig sabihin he is above creation. Hindi ibig sabihin na siyang first created. Kundi siya ay above creation. Kaya yung kanyang pagkapanginoon na kanyang tinamo mula ng kanyang pagkabuhay na muli, nasa larangan din ang kalikasan. Ang implikasyon nito ay there is redemption of the fallen creation assured in Christ. Kahit yung creation, yung nilalang, yung kalikasan na tinitingnan natin, may katubusan yan. Nang dahil sa ginawa ni Jesucristo, yan ang katuruan sa Romans 8, we are looking for the redemption of creation. Kaya may katubusan. Kaya para sa mga Kristiyano, meron tayong tinatawag na Christian ethic of creation. Kayong mga nasa larangan ng pananaliksik, pag-aaral, pagtuturo na may kinalaman sa kalikasan, yan man ay siyensya, medisina, agrikultura, forestry, whatever that is, you are dealing with a component of the lordship of Christ. Gumagalaw kayo sa isang larangan ng pagkapanginoon ni Jesucristo. Yan ang nakalulungkot sa mga atheistic scientists. Hinihiram nila ang isang larangan ng pagkapanginoon ni Jesucristo bago tatalon sila sa konklusyon na lumalaban sa kanyang pagkapanginoon. Samantalang pinapahiram lang sila ng larangan ng pagkapanginoon ni Jesucristo. Now, another implication of this is that because of the restoration of creation, we must reject doomsday theories. Rinig nyo ba na ngayon, December 21? Ayon daw sa nasaliksik nila sa Mayan documents, matatapos ang mundo ngayong December 21. Siniseryoso po yan sa maraming lugar sa West. But that's a doomsday scenario. In the first place, nobody knows. At kung ang paniwala sa katapusan ng mundo ay dahil sa mawawasak ang mundo, mababangga ng ibang planeta, o magkakaroon ng nuclear holocaust, whatever doomsday scenario people hold, we must reject. Because this world, this creation, is set for redemption. Jesus assured that by His resurrection. Pero isa pang kahulugan nito, because the redemption of creation is at Christ's coming, we reject utopian hopes. Hanggat hindi dumarating yun, huwag tayong umasa na darating sa kaperpektuhan ang mundo. Hindi yan gagawin ng siyensya. Bagamat naniniwala tayo sa siyensya at sinusulong natin ang siyensya, but science will not bring about utopia in this world. It will take the second coming of Christ to bring about redemption. So yan yung unang larangan. The creation is part of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Pero ikalawa ay sa larangan ng iglesia. So here, the main character of the kingdom of Christ is spiritual. At ang komunidad na sumusulong yan ay ang iglesia. Ganyan ang cut-off point ng plano ng Diyos. So sa mediatorial lordship, ang unang larangan, creation, there is redemption, no doomsday scenario, no utopian hope. Pero sa larangan ng iglesia, ang ebidensya ng kaharian ni Jesucristo ngayon ay hindi politika. Ang ebidensya ng kaharian ni Jesucristo ay isinusulong na, namamahagi na ng pagpapala ng kaligtasan. Salvation blessings are the result of the kingdom of Christ. And then the righteous life, ang ebidensya nito sa mga nagpapasakop sa kanyang kaharian. Yan ang ebidensya ng mga pinaghaharian ni Jesucristo, namumuhay sila sa katuwiran. Yan yung Sermon on the Mount. Ang Sermon on the Mount ay sinasabi anong uri ng pamumuhay ang pinamumuhay ng mga nagpapasakop kay Jesucristo. At kaya ginagamit natin ang Sermon on the Mount to shape the way we live, to challenge the way we should live, the subjects of the kingdom, evidence the reign of Christ through righteousness. Hindi miracles, hindi signs and wonders, kundi through the righteous life. And then, proclamation. So, through proclamation, meaning kapag pinapangaral ang salita ng Diyos, parang naririnig doon ang boses ng hari sa pamamagitan ng pangangaral ng kanyang salita. So, the proclamation of the word is a kingdom encounter. And those who are confronted with the word either submit to the king or they rebel against the king. But that's what happens in proclamation, kapag pinapangaral ang salita ng Diyos. Kaya nang sinabi ng Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John, since then. Kaya makikita natin yung cut-off point in the person of Jesus. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So anong ebidensya na nasa kaharian tayo? Pinatawad yung ating mga kasalanan. Hindi yung tayo nagmimilagro, kundi yung tayo nakakaranas ng kaligtasan ng Panginoon. Nang sa harap ni Pilato, at hinamon siya ng Pilato, saan ang iyong kaharian? Ang sabi niya, my kingdom is not of this world. So, hindi mo asahan ng kaharian ni Jesucristo ay gagamit ng politika. Kaya tayo tumatanggi sa pamumulitika bilang extension ng sinasabing paghahari ni Jesucristo. Ang paghahari ni Jesucristo ay hindi sa paghahanap ng posisyon, ng kandidatura. Mali ang lahat ng pinagkakaabalahan ng maraming mga simbahan ngayon, at ang dahilan ay sapagkat nawalan sila ng mensahe. Ang tunay na ebidensya ng kaharian ni Jesucristo ay ang sinabi ng Panginoon on the underscored word to bear witness to the truth. Yan ang ebidensya ng kanyang paghahari. Harap-kaharap niya si Pilato at sinasabi niya, eto ang aking kaharian, nagpapatotoo sa katotohanan. And then, darating ang panahon, hindi ngayon, pero sa pagdating ng Panginoon, diyan makikita ng lahat ang katotohanan na hari na siya ngayon. Sa ngayon, hindi siya kinikilala ng nakararami. Pero darating ang panahon, ang sinabi, when the seventh angel blew his trumpet, etc., the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Kaya, matagumpay ang hinaharap ng kaharian ni Yesu Kristo. Hinahamak yan ngayon, pinagtatawanan, pero alam natin ang patutunguhan ng paghahari ni Yesu Kristo ay sasakop sa buong nilikha. So we believe in the title of Christ so precious to the saints of old, to the Puritans in particular, that He is Christus Victor, the victorious Christ. So the kingdom is unacknowledged now, opposed by the world, but the kingdom of Christ is evidenced and promoted by the church in the world, and one day, the kingdom of Christ will have victorious consummation in His return. But there is something that I want to raise as an issue. Dahil naging issue ito sa mga nakalipas, ngayong siya'y itinaas na. Meron pa ba siyang damdaming pantao sa ating mga kabigatan, mga paghihirap? There are those who think that because Christ is now raised on high, it will be too lowly for Him to still feel for the struggles of His people. But one Puritan who raised this issue so effectively was Thomas Goodwin. Eh, ganyan talaga isura nila, 17th century, 1600 to 1680. These are the years of Thomas Goodwin. And his masterpiece, a masterpiece of Puritan literature, is Christ Set Forth and the Heart of Christ in Heaven Towards Sinners on Earth. If we can summarize what he is saying, he used as his main text, Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So this is talking about the exalted Christ. Yet, ang sinasabi ay makakasimpatya siya sa ating mga kabigatan at mga pinagkakahirapan. To summarize Goodwin's thesis, ito ang kanyang thesis. Christ, as our high priest, was not just touched with the feelings of our infirmities during His time on earth, taking only the memory of it to heaven. But now in heaven, in a glorified state, He is touched in His very feelings for us. This is by no means a weakness of any sort. Rather, this ability to feel for us is part of His power. It is a perfection and strength of love and grace. So isn't this so precious to think about? So touching. Naroon na siya sa kalangitan, itinaas na. And yet, in a very real sense, He feels for us. Not just the memory of it when He was on earth, kundi right here, right there, and right on His exalted throne, He feels with a human heart for His people. And that is a precious truth, that in His exalted state, we can rest assured that He retains that human heart that continues to feel for His people. In fact, in a state that is much more imperfection than He was in His lowly status. Kaya itong isang bagay na isipin natin tungkol sa ating Panginoon, He continues to feel for us, sympathize with us, and is touched by our infirmities, including, Goodwin made this point, as has a whole chapter on it, including struggles with sin. He is touched by it. So don't think of Christ as being just angry with our sin. He is touched by it because He was tempted in all points as we are, but without sin. So this is our exalted Christ. Any question? Ike?
May share ko lang, Pastor. Hello? May share ko lang po. Kasi nung last Wednesday, I have two visitors. My former boss, who is a retired 65-year-old Dutch, and yung head din ng region namin, who is an Indian. And we were having lunch last Wednesday in Tagaytay. And while you were sharing this information, I just again realize how important itong mga information na to. Kasi yung out of the blue kasi, gawa may wedding nga pala kasi doon eh. And the Indian started asking me na ganito ba talaga yung wedding sa Pilipinas, yung mga Christians. Sabi ko, hindi ko alam kung Christian yan or Catholic. Then doon na nagsimula yung mga tanong nila. Na yung out of the blue, yung Indian, I was wondering why she was asking a lot of questions. Tapos yung ano, yung Dutch, kasi 65 years old na siya, though Catholic siya, pero hindi rin naman siya deeply rooted Catholic. And ang dami niyang tanong. He was even disputing nga tong Christianity. And ang pinakamatinding statement niya yung Biblia ay sinulat lang daw yan ng tao. And of course, I have to confront that statement. But the thing is, having been informed or learned these truths about the incarnation, it makes you bolder. It makes you more equipped how you can defend the gospel. And totoo to. And sinabi ko nga, sino ba ang propeta na umangat sa langit? Umakyat sa langit, may mga witness pa. Wala naman text message noon, wala naman mga email, wala naman propaganda. So how could have this been, how could have this happened? So the thing is, it's very important and I really appreciate this kind of teachings or supplementary information that we hear every Sunday. Kasi na, for all you know, napakaraming magtatanong. And yung Indian pala, sabi ko, why do you keep asking a lot of questions? It so happened pala na na-educate pala siya sa Catholic school, but until grade 5 lang ata, pagkatapos nun, na-expose siya sa Hindu. But they kept on asking a lot of questions. So my point is, napaka-importante na maunawaan talaga itong mga katotohanan to. Yun nga, kasi maraming nagdi-dispute sa incarnation ni Kristo. And of course, more pa dun sa pag-akyat niya sa langit. So, malaking tulong talaga itong mga bagay na to na kung hindi natin ganap na uunawain, napakahirap, pag kinonfront ka na ng sinong tao, boss mo pa, matanda pa, baka tumiklop ka na lang. So, yun lang po, binavalue ko lang po yung mga katuruan dito na natunan namin and it makes me more bold to really defend the gospel. Yun lang po.
Okay, thank you, Ike. And it reminds me of what 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, na be ready to give an answer to those who ask you about the hope that is in you. So hindi ito binigay sa mga pastor na nag-aral sa Bible training, kundi sa lahat ng Kristiyano dapat may kahandaan na magbigay ng sagot kapag natanong na may kinalaman sa ating pag-asa. So that means it is one way to be ready is to have yourself equipped by biblical teachings concerning some of the fundamental issues related to the gospel. And of course, the incarnation of Christ is fundamental sa pagkaunawaan natin ng Ebanghelyo. Other thoughts or questions? Ian.
Pastor, regarding to the redemption of creation in the coming of Christ, what about those statement sa 2 Peter 3:7, but by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly.
Yeah, but kung itutuloy mo yun, sa verse 13, ay sinabi, we will be in the new heaven and the new earth. So which means that is the result. The earth is in stored both for judgment and redemption. Pero yung judgment, hindi ibig sabihin tatanggalin ang mundong ito at magkagawa ng panibago. Kagaya rin sa resurrection, yung body natin hindi winala at gumawa ng bagong body, kundi that lowly body was resurrected by glorifying it, not by canceling it to recreate a new one. Ganun din sa redemption of creation, hindi mawawala altogether yung creation, i-judge lahat ng may kinalaman sa sin and corruption, and then to have a glorious creation. So, exactly the same how God deals with our bodies. Ganun ang magiging dealing niya with creation. Kaya we look at this creation with a Christian ethic. Other questions? Ben?
Clarification lang po dun sa first bullet nung under ng contrast between our lowly body and His glorious body. Sabi po dito, He was not immediately recognizable. Dun po sa Luke chapter 24, sabi po dito sa verse 16, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And verse 31, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. It seems po na yung unrecognizable ay hindi property nung glorious body, but they were hindered. They were kept from recognizing.
Well, that's one explanation, but you remember also sa case ni Mary Magdalene, siya yung unang pumunta doon sa grave site at hindi niya nakilala, kinausap niya siya until that she was directly addressed by Jesus, and that's the only time na she recognized him at tinawag niya nga Rabboni, my Lord, my teacher, which again shows that yes, partly there's the sovereign act of not letting them recognize, but also partly the fact that there were changes that happened to his body, significant changes that made him not immediately recognizable, even to companions with whom he spent years. So hindi agad siya na-recognize because we can assume changes that happened. At yun din ang sinabi ng 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 54, this corruption will put on incorruption and this mortal will put on immortality. Sa resurrection body natin, there will also be significant changes. So mawawala na yung mga corruption at maraming corruption sa ating body na matatanggal na at the resurrection. But it is still our body, the same body, not another body. The same body, but all corruption removed. Kaya kung ni-remove ang mga corruption, certainly there would be significant changes. Ian.
Pastor, this is just trivial. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in His glorious body, He is still recognizable. But how about for us as believers? Parang, paano ba yun? Ano yung, will still be recognizable? Marirecognize mo natin yung isa't isa. Parang, for example, kung namatay ka na, for example, 95, yun na yung body mo, just, or pag namatay yung isa na bata pa, ito nandito.
And, we will be in the perfect state physically at the resurrection and final state. So, hindi yung kapag namatay ka, let's say, you died 100 years old, pag resurrect mo, ganun ka pa rin. kundi perfect. Whatever the perfect state of that body is, that will be its condition. Ganun din, pag namatay, let's say, namatay siya ng stillbirth, so, hindi siya mare-resurrect na ganun pa rin ang kalagayan niya, kundi kung ano yung perfect state ng kanyang physical state, whether from being baby to mature adulthood or from being elderly, again, to mature adulthood. So whatever the perfect physical state may be for that particular individual. Tita Beth.
Naka-encounter ho ako ng question tungkol sa paniniwala sa Bible. Kasi apo, yung kamag-anak kong malayo, pumunta ako doon. Tapos sabi niya sa akin, ano bang, kon, bakit ka nag-aaral ng Bible? Sabi sa akin, ano bang religion mo? Sabi ganun. Sabi ko, Baptist, kahit hindi pa. Tapos sabi sa akin, eh bakit ka nag-aaral niyang Bible? Sabi ganun, yan ang mga tao lamang ang gumawa niyan. Yung mga matalinong tao, kaya nilang gawin yan. Sabi ganun sa akin. Hindi ko tuloy alam ang isasagot ko.
Doon po kayo iyan. Una po ay, pag sinasabing tao lang ang sumulat niyan, ang unang sagot ron ay, opo, talagang sinulat naman niya ng mga tao. Pero ang mga taong sumulat niyan, yung kanilang isinulat, sinabi ng ikalawang Timoteo, ay kinasihan. Yung tinatawag na inspiration, yung salitang inspiration, kasi makaraniwan nating gamit ngayon ay na-inspire lang yung damdamin. Hindi po ganun. Ang ibig sabihin, inihinga. Yung kahulugan po nun ay inihinga ng Diyos. Nilalang ng Diyos. Kagaya ng paggamit sa lumang tipan ng paghinga ng Diyos, ay may nalalalang dahil inihinga ng Diyos. Ganun ang nangyari sa kasulatan. Sulat ng mga tao, ngunit yung kinalabasan ay kung anong inihinga ng Diyos. Kaya salita rin ng Diyos. Eh, hindi natin tinatanggihin na salita ng tao, sa sulat ng mga tao ito, dahil totoo naman po, sulat ito ni Pablo, sulat ni Pedro, andun yung pagka-Pedro ni Pedro, yung pagka-Pablo ni Pablo, nandoon sa sinulat nila, pero yung resulta ng kanilang sinulat dahil sa banal na Espiritu ay kung ano ang inihinga ng Diyos, kaya salita ng Diyos. At hindi totoo na sino mang matalinong tao ay makakagawa ng Biblia. I dare them. Other thoughts? Tina.
Again po, Pastor, napakaganda po nung yun po sa glorious body po ng Panginoon. He still had on his body the marks of the cross, an eternal reminder of redemption. Napakagandang isipin po na talaga pong sa kanyang pagmamahal, kinip po niya yung mark na yun na para po sa akin personally, kung sakali po na makikita ko, assurance po na Jesus Christ saved me, He saved me. Yung at ano po, yun din pong thought na Christ as our high priest, His ability to feel for us is a part of His power and that it is a perfection of strength, of love, and grace. Malalim po ito na nakakapag-motivate po to know more of our Lord and Savior and to be more Christ-like habang nandito po tayo sa lupa. At yun pong hope na makikita ko nga po din ang mukhaan yung pong Savior ko na who bear on His body the marks of redemption.
Okay, thank you, Tina. So again, isang unremarkable yun na he could have chosen to be completely flawless as far as the physical is concerned, yet he chose to retain those marks of the cross. At yun nga ang pinakita niya kay Thomas, and something that I believe will be an eternal reminder even through eternity, the final state, na this is what it took for us to be the beneficiary of all those blessings of salvation. At yung point ni Thomas Goodwin na sa kanyang glorious state ay talagang he still feels the suffering and the struggles of his saints, humanly speaking. Hindi ito memory lang niya, kundi he enters into it. The effect of that is to draw us to himself. Hindi siya nakakatakot na tagapagligtas, hindi siya nakakatakot na Panginoon, kundi someone who should be attractive to His people, even when we struggle with our issues. Other thoughts? Lucy?
Nakahiya, parang batang tanong. Ano lang okay po, kasama po ba sa bubuhayin ng Panginoon yung mga hindi ligtas?
I'm sorry?
Yung pong mga hindi ligtas, kasama po ba siya sa bubuhayin muli?
Oh, lahat ng mga namatay ay bubuhayin, pero ang sabi sa John 5:28 and 29 ay yung mga hindi ligtas ay sa pagkabuhay ng kahatulan, resurrection of damnation. At yung mga ligtas ay sa pagkabuhay ng buhay na walang hanggan. So the resurrection of eternal life as against resurrection of damnation. Kaya may katawan din sa final state ang mga wala kay Kristo, pero para sa kanilang kahatulan. Remember one description ng mga nasa kapahamakan ay there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Kaya may katawan sila. Okay, other thoughts? Glenn.
Pastor, even sa ibang religions, meron silang idea ng kanilang gods who are nabuwababa in human form, or like sa Greek and Roman mythology, meron silang mga demigods. Paano natin i-answer yung if someone argues na yung ating doctrine of incarnation, parang variation lang siya nitong mga demigods na to or gods in human form ng ibang religion?
Well, exactly yung sinabi mo na yung mga ideas ng mga pagans concerning their gods appearing as man ay they still retain Kumbaga, hindi sila talaga man that Jesus became from baby, from infancy to adulthood. Walang ganyang story yung mga pagan mythology kahit pa maaaring lumitaw ang kanilang Diyos sa anyo ng isang hayop, sa anyo ng isang halaman, sa anyo ng isang isda at iba't iba pa. And it's clearly legend and myth. In the case of Jesus, he was real man from infancy to adulthood with witnesses. And so there is nothing to duplicate whatever the story of the incarnation. So there's nothing like it in extra-biblical literature. Glenn?
Maganda yung discussion natin ngayon sa incarnation, especially yung mga question, mga practical question nga nung kagaya ni na Tibet tsaka kay Brother Ike, na maraming mga tanong sa atin, kahit mga classmate man natin o mga malapit sa buhay, mga kapamilya. Lagi tayong, may tendency tayong maging defensive. Talagang ibubuhos natin yung mga technical term para maintindihan, manalo tayo. Pero lagi pa rin nating sabihin natin na malumanay, at the same time, makita talaga ang testimony pa rin natin, makita nila. Mas mag-shine up yun na sagutin natin sila na malumanay, na hindi na talagang kailangan, bakit kayo? Ano ba ang kwan nyo? Bakit kayo Hindu ba sila o Muslim? Ano ba yung inyo? Para bang ganun ang mangyari. But we have to answer them at the same time. Makita nila kasi makita nila sa buhay natin. Yun ang pinaka-importante na testimony natin, at yun ang maging curious sila bakit na ganun in a real sense. Yun lang gusto kong ma-comment.
Well, exactly. Nagpapatotoo tayo, at isang paraan ng pagpapatotoo ay paghihikayat, and yung panghihikayat nangangahulugan na huwag kang mag-umpisa sa, at huwag kang gumamit ng panghahamak. Tayo ang hinahamak, hindi tayo ang nanghahamak sa mga ibang pananampalataya, sapagkat gusto natin silang makasumpong ng katotohanan. And so huwag tayong gumamit ng mga pang-technical term lang, ang layunin natin ay hikayatin sila, then both by way of life as well as witness, ay let us seek to win them to the truth of the gospel. Our purpose, I keep reminding my students, kahit pa ang subject ay polemics, meaning pinapakita yung kamalian ng ibang reliyon, we have that subject, or apologetics, defending the Christian faith. I keep reminding my students that our goal is never to win an argument. Our goal is to win souls. So let us try to be winsome. Huwag natin akalain na makukuha natin sila sa pamagitan ng pagpaparami ng mga salitang hindi nila masagot. Halimbawa, dinibati mo siya at hindi ka na nga niya masagot sa galing ng pakikipagdibati mo, that does not mean he is convinced. Diba, may kasabihan, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. Yung nakumbinsin mo, hindi na siya nakaspagsalita sa'yo, hindi ibig sabihin nabago mo yung kanyang paniniwala. And that's not our aim in persuasion. Any last thoughts? Papu?
Gusto ko lang pong i-share uli ang karanasan ko sa aking conversion. 10 taon po ako nang una kong marinig ang tungkol sa pagkabuhay na muli ng Panginoong Hesukristo. 27 taon po na para sa akin ay kwento lang yon. Narinig ko lang, isang kwento lang, walang katotohanan. Pero nung dumating sa akin ang kaligtasan, naging totoo sa akin na totoong buhay, nabuhay ang Panginoong Hesus. Talagang halos pakiramdam ko lumaki sa ang ulo ko sa katotohanan narinig kong yon. Totoo talagang buhay ang Panginoong Hesus, at yon ang naunawaan kung ano ibig sabihin ng pagkapanginoon ng Panginoong Hesus. At ikit sa lahat, lalo pong pinatibay yun ang mga katotohanan na may mga witness na ang Panginoong Hesus ay muling nabuhay.
And I'm sure many can testify to the same na nadaanan natin yung kwento, familiar tayo sa kwento, maaaring lumaki tayo sa mga kwentong ganyan. So kung basta kwento lang, familiar tayo. Ngunit maaaring mangyari na familiar tayo sa kwento, subalit hindi dumarating sa atin ng mabisa yung katotohanan na yun. At kapag dumating na yung katotohanan, ay doon parang talagang magkakaroon ka ng pakikipag-ugnayan na buhay ang ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Hindi lang siya kwento, siya ay totoong Diyos na nagkatawang tao at nakikipag-ugnayan sa mga makasalanan. Carol.
Master, I'll just share some thoughts on this. Yung nakalagay din po dito yung the kingdom of Christ is largely unacknowledged and opposed in the world. Kasi di ba, Pastor, one of the blessings of being saved through Christ is having the Holy Spirit work in us so that we may become more like Christ. It is an encouragement for us that no matter how people may laugh at us or thwart us or not accept us, or we may not be popular in the world, we may be few, but this is very clear that the kingdom of Christ is not really evidenced by marami siya o yung kitang-kita talaga na, no, but it is evidenced in the lives of the Christians, and yung fact that our hope as Christians is dictated by our hope in Christ daily should really encourage us more to be zealous in spreading the gospel, sharing the gospel to everyone, and be in service for His kingdom.
Okay, thank you, Caro. Again, let us be reminded that that is how the kingdom in Christ came, kaya hindi tinanggap ng mga Jews kasi ang expectation nila, when the Messiah comes, He will bring about a kingdom of cataclysm. Ibig sabihin, sasabog sa mundo, at kaya nga iniisip nila, it will come as a fiery manifestation. Instead, sa kingdom parables, meaning the collection of parables in Matthew 13, tawag ron ay kingdom parables na nag-uumpisa sa the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. And what is it like? A mustard seed. A seed planted at night. A fish net. So, the very ordinary, hindi cataclysm. At yun ang tinatawag ng mystery of the kingdom. The kingdom is now in mystery rather than apocalypse. And that's the mystery of the kingdom of Christ. It takes faith to recognize it. So, we continue to promote the kingdom, which today still is in mystery as far as the world is concerned. But we have recognized it and we live by it. So one day, the apocalypse will come. But right now, it is mystery for. Meron pa? Bim?
Okay, obviously, ang doctrine ng Christ humanity is a source of great comfort. But for those who are struggling to fight their sins and their weaknesses, siguro ang isang nag-come to mind sa pagkarinig ko dito ay yung Hebrews 12:1-2, wherefore, seeing also we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the patience with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So yung sinabi ni Carol na zealous, maging karoon ng zeal, mag-motivate sa atin na maging zealous sa pagpangalap ng Ebanghelyo, at the same time, magkaroon din siya ng, hindi lang siya source of comfort sa ating weakness and sin, but all the more magkaroon ng zeal, so yung to fight, to lay aside the weights that and the sin that so easily beset us. So yung verse na ito is a balance na hindi sinasabi na ang balance ng internal at external. So, hindi pwedeng internal lang, kundi andon din yung external. And of course, yun nga na, this doctrine should all the more motivate us to lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us, because Christ is able. So, yun. Siguro ang concern ko lang is yung, ang nagiging concern ko is yung paano ma-avoid pag nakikita mo na nagiging excuse siya for weakness and sin.
Well, that's the point ng Matthew 5 to 7. Sinabi natin that the righteous life is the evidence of the kingdom ruling and reigning over us is we live by the standard ng Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount shows us what righteous life is. May sinabi nga ang Panginoon doon, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, then that is not the righteousness of the kingdom. But that's exactly the point why we need Christ as the high priest who sympathizes with us, is because our righteous life is not the righteousness of the legalist. It is not the righteousness of one who prides himself in his own righteousness. It is the righteousness of one who knows himself to be, as narinig natin sa scripture reading kanina, of whom I am the chief. The man who is saved by grace still considers himself the chief of sinners. Hindi niya sinabing, I was the chief. Even as he was writing 1 Timothy, sinabi niya, I am the chief of sinners. True righteousness is led by the standard of the word, yet maintains the spirit of conscious, humble admission of one's weakness and sinfulness. That's why we need the high priest. Meron pa? Well, just three installments of this wonderful doctrine, but I trust it has truly been challenging sa atin. It has been challenging to me even in my preparation at ipagpatuloy natin ngayong season na marami sa atin ay ma-challenge na magsalita tungkol sa kapanganakan ng Panginoon. Let us take the opportunity and let us not miss the way we can share the wonder, the amazing wonder of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, lubos kami nagpapasalamat sa kagilagilalas na katotohanan ng anak ng Diyos mula sa walang hanggan ay lubos na nagpakababa, nagkatawang tao, at sa kanyang pagkakatawang tao ay tunay na namuhay siya na isang tao sa lahat ng limitasyon, lahat ng mga karupukan nito, maging sa mga tuksong kanyang dinanas, ngunit wala siyang bahid ng kasalanan. At siya ay nabuhay mula sa mga patay, at mula sa kanyang pagkabuhay, siya ay mayroong maluwalhating katawan. At dahil dito, Panginoon, ito ang siyang humahamon sa amin na kami ay magpasakop sa kanyang kaharian. Pinapanalangin namin ang sinumang narito o makaririnig nito na tingnan ang kanilang katayuan kung sila ay nasa pagpapasakop sa paghahari ni Jesucristo, sapagkat siya ay hari na ngayon. Bagamat hindi kinikilala ng marami, sapagkat ang kanyang paghahari ay nasa kalagayan ng hiwaga, gayunman ay maging hamunawa ito sa tuwing ipangangaral ang iyong salita na magpasakop sila sa paghahari ni Jesucristo. At kami mga nagpasakop na sa paghahari ng Panginoong Jesucristo, panalangin namin na tunay na ipakita namin sa aming pamumuhay na ang aming pamantayan ay ang pamantayan ng pinangaral ni Jesus sa Sermon on the Mount. Help us, Lord, to live by that righteousness which is kingdom righteousness. A righteousness that is above the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, and thus not a legalistic righteousness, but a righteousness that continues to be conscious of our own remaining sin, our own struggles. And that is why, even as we glory in the exalted kingly status of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the assurance that he is exalted as high priest, yet is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, even with our struggles with sin. For he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And thus we are encouraged to draw near to him in the mercy seat. Grant then, Lord, that we will continue to be amazed by this truth, the truth of the eternal Son of God becoming man, and now the glorious Lord. We give you thanks for all of this. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.